Amen. Again, I always say this because it's true, and I get moved. I just love worshiping God with all of you. It's special, isn't it? Amen. To be in one accord, doing the same thing together, praising our Father. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you go to John 15 and verse 7. This is the third message in our series here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. John chapter 15. Praise God. Don't you love Jesus? I love Jesus. Praise his name forevermore. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and pray. We're just going to do a real small review today because, you know, once you start getting into series, like, you can't review every message, and that's why we have the archives. So, Father, help us this morning. We thank you so much for your goodness. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, for your love and kindness. Father, you are good to us, and we recognize your goodness. Father, we are so grateful for your goodness. Where would we be without your goodness in our life? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. As we come before the word this morning, we come humbly, we come boldly, Father, ready to receive from you. Father, we are so grateful for the plan of God. We are pro your plan. And Father, we know your plan always centers and focuses around the word. It is our help, it is our guide, it is our instruction for life. And Father, as I open my mouth this morning, I thank you that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that we're going to hit the mark this morning. Utterance and boldness will go forth, and bullseyes will be hit in each and every person's heart. And Father, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Well, in John 15... in verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a good promise. Amen. I mean, that's a promise that shows the Father is interested in what you have to say and what you need and what you ask him for. He says that you'll ask what you need, what you will, and it'll show up and come to pass in your life. What's he saying? He's saying that things that weren't previously there, through the asking, through the releasing of faith, through the believing him, they'll actually show up. That things can actually be different, that we can actually receive from him. You might need your healing. Well, he says that you can have that. Say, well, where's it been? Well, maybe you're not doing what he said to do, and I'll tell you what he said to do. Hallelujah. And maybe you need prosperity. Maybe you need some change. Well, he said it can come forth. He said if you'll ask. Now remember, he's not a liar. If it's not working, something's not being worked right. Amen. He's not a liar, glory to God. And John 15, 7 says, ask and you'll receive. But then it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. And so he's talking in verse 8, the bearing much fruit. Think about when a fruit tree goes into wintertime, you know, and it's not bearing forth fruit, but then spring and summer comes along and the tree looks different, doesn't it? It starts to bring forth something that wasn't there. Something gets manifested. Something that wasn't there in the natural shows up for the purpose of blessing, right? And so he says, herein my Father is glorified when we bear fruit, when we actually have things that show up good in our lives that weren't there before. And when he's talking about the much fruit, he's referring back to verse 7, because he said herein, off of verse 7, if you go back to verse 7, he said if you'll ask, it'll be done unto you. And when it's done unto you, that's things showing up. That's the fruit showing up that God says you can have. And praise God, that's called bearing much fruit. And he wants you to have much of that fruit. Praise God. And the great thing is God's interested in your natural life and he's interested in your spiritual life. The Bible says he meets all your needs. Praise God. And so the fruit that is to come forth is the blessings in your life, praise God. The good things in your life, the things that you need, not only spiritually but naturally. The prosperity, the healing, the favor, the joy, the peace, the patience. All the things that God says you can have. You know, his promises are abundant. Said all the promises, plural, of God are yes and amen. Aren't you glad there's more than one? Amen. And so he says they'll bear forth much fruit. But he tells you here. He tells you how. Verse 7 says if you, that means if you don't, you can if you and you can if you don't. Yeah. Amen? I guess it's not just dependent upon him. He said, if you, we love asking and receive. We love bearing forth much fruit. But it all starts with an if you. If you will abide in him and his words abide in you. Well, I'm telling you what, that disqualifies a lot of Christians right there. The world's in them. The world's abiding in them. Recreation's abiding in them. All the cares and distractions of the world. The internet's abiding in them. YouTube's abiding in them. Where's my healing? Where's my prosperity? Are you abiding in him? Is his words abiding in you? What's it mean to abide? To live there. Not visit once a Sunday. Well, I go to church. Yeah, you visit his word. You don't live in his word. Amen. You got to live there. It's a lifestyle, people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but in it you shall meditate therein day and night, day and night, day and night. Psalms 1 and verse 1 says, blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, they meditate day and night, day and night. What are they? They're living there. They're living there. They're not visiting every once in a while and then wondering and mocking God. Where's all these blessings that guy's up there shouting at me about? Jesus said, if you. So if you don't, you don't get the rest. But if you'll abide in him and his words will abide in you, look at what's opened unto you. You can ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it has everything to do, this bearing forth much fruit, whether our lives change. And we know, we looked at the first 2 weeks that in one other place, God calls us a garden, a field, and a vineyard. Well, a garden, a field, and a vineyard all have the same things in common. What? They bear forth fruit. They bring forth a harvest meant for blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. And so he's telling us here, if this is going to be the case, you're going to have to do the right thing with my words. Amen. And so we said, well, what do you do? What does it mean to abide in his word? What does it mean for his words to be living in us? Well, thank God he didn't leave us to wander around, but he showed us in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Of course, this is the parable of the sower. And I'm going to read down through, and then we're just going to pick up the next ground that we're looking at. But the reason Jesus is talking about this is he did things in parables and told stories. But if you read the verses before, and Luke has an account of this, and Matthew has an account of this, but Jesus actually talked about a literal human being sowing real seed onto real ground, and talked about the real types of ground that seed can fall upon, and what that seed can do in that ground. And the disciples said, we don't understand that, what you're talking about. We're not picking up what you're putting down, Jesus. That's what Peter was saying, you know. I don't know what you're saying. Explain it to me better here. And so Jesus said, okay, this is what I'm talking about. The sower sows the word. So he's talking about a human being a sower, which would be the preacher, the minister, sowing the word. And so the word is likened to that seed that falls on the ground. So who's the ground? Well, it says, these are they by where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we looked at that group last week. That's a plot of land, the wayside ground. Not on the fertile part, but the wayside ground. But the plot of land, so there's a sower, that's me. There's a seed, that's the word. And then there's a piece of dirt, that's you.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's what he said. He said, you're a piece of dirt. I'm taking up with him when you get to heaven. But hallelujah. Anyways, it says there's the wayside ground. And when they have sown, Satan comes immediately, takes a word that was sown in their heart. And we looked at that one last week. You don't want to be that ground. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time afterward. Affliction, persecution rides for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke that word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit. There it is. Bring forth fruit. What, 30, 60, and 100? But how did they bring forth fruit? Had everything to do with the word.
Yeah.
These are they which are sown on good ground, hear the word, so the word falls on them. And because they did the right thing with the word, it produces. Well, Jesus said in John 15, 7, if you do the right thing with the word, you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you, and my Father will be glorified, because if you'll do that, you'll be bearing forth much fruit. Praise God. I love it. The word is awesome. But we see here that three out of the four people that hear the word, three out of the four types of ground, hear the word, and we looked at that the word's perfect. It's incorruptible. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's alive, the Bible says. And it falls on them. And, you know, that seed, how many of you know, it wasn't the sower's fault that three out of the four. It wasn't the seed's fault. that it was the ground that didn't produce. His word always works. And don't you go blaming me for you not getting your harvest. Because I've preached the same messages to the same people, and some take it, run with it, and actually you start seeing things change in life, and some spin around the same mountain of lack, same mountain of defeat, same mountain of crisis for years and years. Don't blame me, and don't blame God. It's not the seed, and it's not the sower. The ground needs some work. Don't get mad at me, because we all agreed in the beginning of this series that we're going to come humbly with a correctable heart. Because we're going to see things in these different plots of land that we look at our lives and say, you know what, I need to make adjustments. You know, I have not fully arrived by any means. There's way more I don't know than I do know. But I'll tell you what, when I got born again on January 10th of 2002, I was a certain type of ground when I came into the kingdom. I'm a different ground now. What am I saying? I don't care if you find every characteristic of all these grounds. You say, my God, I'm every one of these bad grounds. So what? I was every one of those bad grounds. You know what I did? I started to work the land. Started to dig up that land, started to go over that, plow that land, get that wrong stuff out, start to make it fertile, and then what? Fruit started showing up. Fruit started showing up, praise God. And so don't sit here and get mad and offended and in condemnation and judging yourself. No, this is to help you, to show you where you need to make adjustments. And so that's what we're looking at here. And so it's all about the ground. The seed will work, hallelujah. The seed will work if you'll work the word. And so today we're going to look at the stony ground, verse 16 and 17, and we're going to go over what it is. And I'll tell you what, today is so vital. You know, today, you know, might be one of the, if someone were to say, top 10 things to preach to someone that they need to know, that they have to get down, and principles they have to know, this is one of them. Amen. I mean, by far, this is one of them, because things happen, and people don't recognize what's going on. And the purpose of why things are happening. And instead of fight, they give up. Instead of press, they back off. But he says that there's a ground that's the stony ground, verse 16. And these are people that have heard the word. They're hearing the word. And immediately they receive it with gladness. What? They hear it, and if they're, you know, they're starting to be good ground, because that's the start of good ground, being excited about what the word says. You know, when I came into the church, in a Bible church that actually taught the Bible, you know, I heard Pastor Nancy say this, that she was glad that she was raised in a church that didn't teach her anything. You know, she wished she would have been in a church like this, but she was glad she wasn't in a church that taught her wrong, because it's harder to unlearn stuff. And I'm glad I grew up in a church, they loved Jesus as much as they knew, but they didn't teach me a thing. You know, and I take that back. You know, you learn some of the Bible stories in Sunday school, but I'm talking about life principles, that how to, you know, walk this out. You know, that's really what I try to pride my ministry on, is giving you something that you can take home, be practical with, and watch your life change. I believe that's what a pastor ought to be, amen? Helping the sheep grow and helping the sheep be blessed. But I didn't know any of this, you know, coming in, and I'm glad that I didn't know it coming in. But when I came into the church like this, and I heard what to do with my money and that it could change my money, I received that with gladness. Wow, I don't have to be poor. Wait a minute, there's help for my sickness. Wait a minute, there's a supernatural language that I can talk to God with, and all these things are happening while I'm doing it, right? There's a force called love, and I need to correct some things so I can get into faith. I received the word with gladness, and this ground does that. They hear it and like, wow, this is life-changing. Why? Because the word is your opportunity for different. God's word is your opportunity for increase. If you're a sick person, the word offers you hope. If you're a broke person, the word offers you hope. If you're a depressed person, the word has your answer. If you're afraid and full of anxiety and fear, the word has your answer. If you're lost and confused, the word has your answer. It represents increase. It represents growth, praise God. And so they received it with gladness, but then something happened because they weren't the good ground. They had no root in themselves, and they endured for a time. You see, you have to understand, this Christianity is not all bed of roses. Why? There's a devil that hates you. There's going to be some times of endurance. You ever seen those runners, you know, the triathlons, or these long distance, I'm not talking just marathons, I mean, my goodness, 26.2 miles, but then you hear about 50-mile runs and 100-mile runs and overnight and 3-4-day type things. These people, they look like it was rough when it's over. Right? You can tell it wasn't just tiptoeing through the tulips at times. Why? Because they're in a race. There's obstacles. There's challenges. There's endurance involved. And you have to understand, there's endurance involved and there's a pressing. Paul said this, he said, I press towards the mark of what God has for me. I reach. He didn't say I just fall into it naturally. He didn't say that things just come into me so sweet and easy. No, I have to work for it, endure. And these people are enduring for a time. But, it says, afterward, notice this, affliction or persecution. Let me tell you what those words mean, an easy way to understand that. Test and trials. Tests and trials. Arise. What does that mean? They weren't there. And then tests and trials showed up, right? Yeah. Now look at this. This is what you need to understand. For the word's sake. Are you seeing that? For, Michaela's thinking, he's loud. I wish he would not be so loud when I'm trying to sleep in church. I apologize, I'm sorry. It says, for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended. So it's telling us here that tests and trials will come out of nowhere and arise in your life for one purpose and one purpose only, to steal the word out of your life. And what we're looking at in these grounds, and we saw last week at the wayside ground, it says that Satan comes immediately to take the word. Well, why? He takes the word, he takes your hope. He takes the word, he takes your help. He takes the word, he takes your answer. He gets the word out of your life, he gets your increase. He does. Get the word out of your life, he's got your healing. Get the word out of your life, he's got a hold on your children. It's the truth. And so here, it says that if you can't get it by doing it the wayside ground, that tests and trials will arise for the word's sake, and immediately they're offended. And what happens? No fruit. And so tests and trials, you have to understand this as a Christian. Tests and trials will arise for one purpose and one purpose only, to get you to back off and back away from the word of God. And we're going to look at what happens and how this happens and get some help for this. But go to Mark 4 and verse 35. We'll see this in the Bible. Actually, before we go to Mark 4 and 35, go to chapter 5 and verse 1. We'll just go to the end of the story and work backwards. It says in chapter 5 and verse 1, they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, Mark 5 and verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This man is oppressed and possessed and in a bad position. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Verse 7 says, he cried with a loud voice and said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, said, what is your name? He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him that they would not send him away out of the country. Yada, yada, yada. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but we got to get moving. Basically, the devil comes out of him. The man's life has changed. He's completely normal now. He's completely in his right mind. So much so that he goes into town and people are like, they can't believe it. What happened to this guy? We knew he was the one out in the tombs and in the mountains crying and cutting himself and had supernatural demonic strength, but now he's normal. A great miracle came. Great fruit was brought forth in this man's life. And the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse 1, they came unto the other side. That means they came from somewhere. Now, let's find out where they came. So let's rewind from the other side to where they previously came. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, the same day. And you have to understand, after this, they ministered to this man, guess what? They went back to where they came from. He didn't stay there. And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass to the other side. Now, what happened on the other side? The demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac, got set free. Amen? Great fruit happened. Now, the disciples might not have understood that at the time, but when the Word of God, the Son of God, Jesus, the Bible himself, opened his mouth and said, we're going to the other side, that Word represented such potential increase, such potential blessing. When he spoke, we're going over there. Why? To get there, walk out that word, be a doer of that word, praise God, and watch the fruit come forth, and a man was changed forever. So, now remember, the word is attacked with tests and trials arising out of nowhere. Why? For the word's sake. How many of you know the devil senses spiritual activity and can understand, I got a grip on this man across the sea, and there's a guy on the other side of the water that can take care of this problem, and the devil's a stealer, killer, and destroyer. He wants you oppressed. He wants you bound. He wants you sad. He wants you depressed. And Jesus and that word represented help. So we're going to find Mark chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17 taking place right before our eyes. It says, he said to them the same day, let's go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose. Didn't it say in the parable of the sower? But afterwards, when afflictions and persecutions arise for the word's sake, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's a storm. Professional fishermen, we're trying to wake the carpenter up in this storm, telling him, this is the kind of storm you don't live, you don't make it out of, that you die from. Amen? Would you say that a test and a trial arose? Why do you think that test and trial arose? Because there was fruit on the other side of that word. And it would have been so easy to say, let's turn back. The storm is this way. Let's go another day. Let's not do this. Do we really need to go to the other side? Let's back off of the word. No. Isaac in the time of famine did not back off the principles of God. Why? Because there's fruit on the other side of it. But so many times tests and trials arise in people's lives and to steal the word out of their life. Let me give you some examples. What about when people finally get the revelation, the light bulb, that they need a pastor? And that the word talks about being in church. And that it's not okay to just have a TV preacher or listen to someone on the radio. You need a shepherd. Amen? You need a shepherd in your life. And people get that revelation. And then they set their sights to going. They set their sights to going. And then all of a sudden, things start happening in their life that make it harder to get to church. That make it more difficult to be there. Do you think that's a coincidence, people? I always tell new believers, get ready for a storm. And because they're babies, if they don't have a pastor in their ear, like, I mean, I'll just be in your ear just pumping you full of faith. If you'll let me. If you'll let me, I'll be there doing that. And then people don't recognize these things, and they think, oh, my gosh, ever since I started going to church, things became hell on earth. Yeah, because if you'll keep going with it, your life will become heaven on earth. Amen. What about people that hear the message on tithing and giving? And that word, the word on tithing and giving is not to hurt you. Look what God said about it. Only brings you into more. And we have a lot of people in here that can testify. It's true. And then we can have some people in here, I'm sure, that can testify. I have no idea. Don't do it. But think about that word. Like that, Dr. Jessica? She makes me feel like I'm pretty funny sometimes, you know, I'll tell you, it makes me feel that way. But anyways, some of you, you know, you hear the word on that and someone gets the revelation. Oh my gosh, if I tithe and bring offerings, I'm going to increase into more. God said to bring a tithe. That's not optional. I have to be a tither. And then what happens? Your job changes. Hours get cut. Well, I can't tithe anymore. Bam, the devil got the word right out of your life. It's the truth. It's the truth. Circumstances change, something breaks down, and all of a sudden the tithe gets robbed from, and the word just thrown off to the side, and it was meant for increase all the time. Don't think that when you start tithing, all of a sudden things aren't going to start happening. Why? The devil's trying to take the word. What about when people hear the message on healing? Oh my gosh, I can be healed. And you walk out and you get sicker than before. Your symptoms get worse. And then what do they try to get you to do? Back off believing that. Back off pressing that word. Just let it go to the wayside. Why? Devil says, got them. Tests and trials. That was easy enough. So many people are taken out that way. You know, I was messed up as a young man. And we'll see how I'm led I feel like I know on the radar what's coming down the road in these messages, but I'll just share a little bit of my testimony. You know, I was messed up, drugs, alcohol, all of it, you know, gambling addiction, super depressed. I mean, you name it, I probably was it, you know, and just in a bad place, got born again, didn't know what to do with my life, wanted Jesus, you know, and was thankful that I was saved. But I was terrified, you know, of going, being sent out as a missionary to China or Africa. And it seems funny, but that's the reason I made him my Savior, but I did not want to make him my Lord. Because when you make him your Lord, that means you obey what he says. And I was just convinced that's where he's going to send me. And here I was, a born-again Christian, child of God. And I'm sick as can be, broke as can be, still depressed, still all the stuff. And I'm hearing preachers, Pastor Michael preach, and I'm seeing things in friends' lives, and things are changing. Things are staying the same with me. And I got the verse in my heart, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You see why a lot of people aren't eating the good of the land? Because they don't qualify for the good of the land. The good of the land says you got to be willing and obedient. That means you're willing to do anything he says, and when he says it, you do it, praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. So all you out there say, he better never ask me to do nursery because I'll never do it. You're not qualified for the good of the land. Why? You're not willing. I'd never clean the church. Not qualified. I'll never witness to anybody. Not qualified. With him, you don't say you're not willing to do anything. It disqualifies you from the greater. It's the truth. Jesus said the one that loses their life will gain it. When you realize your life's not yours, you don't have a say. Better get off that subject real quick. People start getting mad at me. It's true. And I was like, why am I not, you're not willing and obedient? What are you talking about? You wouldn't go to China and Africa if I asked you. And I, darn right I wouldn't. But then I got realized something. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Eventually you get to a place, it's like, I'm ready for change. I'll do whatever it takes. So I was on my way to the general store in Falconer, New York, a little convenience store. I get there early and get the coffee going and all the donuts and all that for people and work the morning shift. And in my 1990 Nissan pickup that hardly had any heat, rusting out, you know, just sick, broke, all that. And here I'm a Christian. And I threw my hands up in there. I said, fine, Lord, I'll go. I'll go. And I couldn't decide which one I tried to get him to send me to because I didn't want to go to either of them. But I said I'd go. And it wasn't the next service or service after that. I'm in church. It's the only time I can tell you that this happened to me. Pastor Michael gave the salvation call. All heads were bowed. All eyes were closed. And he's just giving the salvation call at normal. And all of a sudden, I heard loudly in the church, go to Rhema. Well, when you hear that, like, who is speaking out while he's preaching? Because he didn't skip a beat. He just kept speaking it and talking it. And I look up, and everybody's got their heads bowed, eyes closed. No one else heard it but me. Well, what was it? It was the audible voice of God telling me what to do. Go to Rhema. Well, what does that word represent in my life? Direction and increase. Well, Rhema was the Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma that I ended up going to. Well, I went to Rhema. That would have been in the winter going into spring that I heard that. And then I went there for winter Bible seminar, Brother Hagin's last winter Bible seminar in February. And when I was there, I realized that's not why I'm here. I'm here to go to school in the following fall. And so I went to school, went there. And what from that point on, I'm here today because of that word that started everything, following him. So I hear, go to Rhema. Well, I get to Rhema, and you have to understand that when I go to Rhema, you got to remember, we're talking about the guy pre-salvation that had 26 jobs in 2 years. Some of them, one of them, I got him to hire me back 3 times. I could sweet talk them back into getting me back in. I mean, my dad, you know, he owned a restaurant, and I got jobs at restaurants and stuff by telling them, oh, I used to run a restaurant. And we're talking about a little sub shop in North Warren, Pennsylvania, that all I pretty much did was eat all the profits, pretty much, and made a delivery for them every once in a while and ticked off the older workers because here I'm the guy's son just watching everybody work while I eat. But I'd tell them, oh, I used to run a restaurant. I run my dad's restaurant. He's older, you know, I'd take care of that for him. And real impressive, you know. And 26 jobs in 2 years, 5 different colleges, just all sorts of different things, you know. Some things I haven't even shared that I've done. We'll see someday if that door opens. But anyways, just, you know, the Mike Anderson world tour of confusion. So now I'm born again. I'm going to go be a preacher at a Bible school. You think? And I tell my family that. You think they're giving me one dime of support? Oh, you're going to go be a preacher now. You can just imagine 26 jobs, 5 colleges. I went to be a gym teacher. I went to be an elementary school teacher. I went to be a, what are the people with the ears and the, no, not the audiologist, but the other one. Speech pathologist. I sat in one class of speech pathology, said, I'm not this smart. Bye. I dropped out of school, and that's not my thing. The reason I picked speech pathology is because I went on a website, and it said jobs that are growing and jobs that pay the most, and that was up towards the top. I said, I want to be one of them. But I didn't know you had to do all the work to get it. And so I quit that. So now I'm going to be a preacher, and I get one lick of help from my family, and they shouldn't have. They didn't trust me. So I went there with only enough money to get 1 month's rent of apartment. Went there by faith. Had to get a job, you know, and which to keep a job was a new thing for me. And had to work a full-time job and go to school full-time, which that was such an upheaval in this, you know, person's life, you know. And so I get there and I'm doing that. And within the first month, I start smelling gasoline. And I notice that I look under my truck and as I'm pouring it in, it's flowing out. Took it to a shop and, to tell you the truth, on this truck, you know, I put an index card on my way to Oklahoma, 18-hour drive. I put an index card over the temperature gauge because, and you might think that's stupid, but no, you have to understand, it was such a faith thing for me, and that temperature thing and would mess up in the truck, and I knew this was the only vehicle I had to get there, and I was believing. I released my faith before I went, and that thing would talk to me. You're not going to make it there with that truck. So I said, I'm going to shut you up. And I just put an index card over. So I don't even care what it is. I don't care how. It doesn't matter to me. We're getting there by faith. And I just got there. But when I got there, you know, the lines rusted out. And the price of what it was going to be was nothing I could afford. And I'll tell you what. When you're there and you're homesick, and all of a sudden you don't have enough money to fix your vehicle and get to work, and you want to talk about wanting to quit and go back home to what's comfortable. Go back home to what you know. What was it? Test and trial. Well, I made it through that, believed God, money came supernaturally to me. But then at Christmas time, I came down with the worst sickness I had ever had up until that point, barring anything that happened to me when I was a little baby and don't know about. I got 3 separate infections, lost 25 pounds, and I know what you're thinking. That'd be good for you now. I'm working on it. Working on it, but back then I lost 25 pounds. I came off the airplane, and the Nell Bones were there with Courtney, and they couldn't recognize me when I came off the airplane. I would look, I was skin and bones, you know, just not doing well. And here I missed 2 straight weeks of school at a faith Bible school. Again, you talk about wanting to quit. Being in the, when you're all alone out there, and I moved my mattress, I drug my little mattress right into the closet because the one closet had a door, the other closet had a door, there were no windows, and I could get that sucker pitch black. And so I went in there and just laid there for basically 2 weeks, down in the dumps, wanting to go home, wanting to give up, wanting to quit. What was it? Tests and trials arising for the word. Praise God. It's true. What about when it was time for me to take off of this church, you know, after 2 years of staying home with my son and believing God for $2,000 a month to pay our bills and to make sure we were staying afloat. And then, you know, I start to get a little bit of money for the church. Court's making all the money, and God tells me that she's going to quit her job. Well, she's the one making all the money. If she quits her job, we're not going back to $2,000 short a month, but we're back in the thousands again short because of her job. But the Lord said, you need to devote yourself full time to the church now. She's going to stay home with Caleb. And so, well, we did that. She put that notice, and actually she had to give a month's notice for the position she was in to train somebody. Put that month's notice in. Guess what happened in that month's notice? Pastor Mike almost died. No insurance at all. My appendix ruptured, right? 3 days, poison went through me. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. You can imagine that hospital bill. And you want to know the temptation of telling her, hey, rescind that resignation. Take that resignation back. But what did the word say? The word said quit a job. Why? What did that word represent? Increase. You know what the love walk word represents and forgiveness represents to you, even though it's hard on your flesh? It represents increase. You know what the word on tithing represents for you? Increase. You know what the word on being faithful to go to church represents? Increase. You know what speaking in this unknown language that your denominational church told you was crazy and your mind tells you it's crazy? You know what it represents for you? Increase. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. Praise God. And I tell you, I was tempted. So tempted. But, you know, we believed God, never paid a penny of that $40-some-thousand hospital bill. Supernatural things happen. And I always tell the story, Pastor Katie Stallman of the Jamestown Church texted me, and she said, "Isn't it amazing, Pastor Mike?" And I hadn't really realized it, you know, just being in it, living it, sometimes you don't see it. She said, "When you obeyed that word," because they knew what we were going through, "when you obeyed that word to have her quit her job," and they knew how good of a job she had, "look at all the increase that came in your life." And she listed a text message, and I just started praising God. The word is good. Amen. "Quit your job, that sounds like you're trying to hurt me." "No, he never hurt you." "Tithe, that sounds like you're trying to ruin my life." I had people sit across me one time and say, "How do you expect me to feed my family if I tithe?" And my thought in my head was, by looking at you, you eat well. It doesn't seem like eating's a problem. No, I'm just being truthful. People come up with the dumbest things. I can't eat doing that. You're doing a good job for right now. Just don't come with me of this stuff. It'd be like the woman that gave her last meal. "How do you expect me and my son to eat?" Prophet didn't care. He said, "Do what God said to do and you'll get into a better life." Amen. Don't sing me your sad songs. Do what the word says. Praise God. And so you have to understand that word represents blessing and increase. The devil comes, tries to take it from you. But I want to, do I need to go here? Well, I don't think so because of the time. We'll pick it up. We'll have to have a part two on this. I know it's only 11, but if I get going, I'm going to have to rush this next part, and this next part's not worthy of rushing. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. And you have to understand that God, the devil, he wants the word so bad out of your life that when things all of a sudden come up, if you don't recognize, Peter said this, he said, "Beloved, don't think it strange." Real quick, just turn there and we'll close here. 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. Who's doing nursery today? Hope hit the jackpot today. Poor Amy was doing it last night in Allegheny. I just kept preaching and preaching. Hope hit the jackpot today. 1 Peter 4:12. I know Amy Drosdale's over there doing children's church, so she's going to think this is all right, you know. It's her first time doing it, so that's what we're doing. We're trying to help her out. We're trying to trick her. So next time she's in there and have to be like Miranda, you know, Miranda's usually in nursery, and I go for almost 2 hours, you know. It's happened several times. I don't know what it is. It's the Miranda anointing. But 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." You're a Christian in a word church with opportunities to grow, the word being presented unto you. Of course, there's going to be tests and trials to get the word out of your life. Why? Because the word's the only thing that can be the fruit producer. Amen. Amen. Don't back away from the written word or anything he's told you in your heart. I've had people before call me up, this is a true story, telling me that God told me to sow this amount into the church. So, well, you don't have to tell me about it, but praise God, be faithful. Never saw the money. Why? What happened? Something came up. And what God said now became optional. And they never do what God said to do, and they miss out and let go of that increase. What if I wouldn't have went to Rhema? What if I would have went home because I got homesick and all these tests and trials? What if we'd have had her keep her job? What if when God told me, "Don't you dare get a third shift job when you start this church"? What would have happened? What would we have lost out on? What would we have missed out on personally and for the church? How many times have people backed off the word because things got hard, things got tough, and the devil's sitting there just that smile, you know, yeah. Got him. It's true. Amen. Well, like I said, we're going to close because next week we'll pick up part two of this ground, the stony ground, because I'll tell you what, the second part of this is just as important as the first part, and it takes people out. It like just comes in, the devil like cuts them at the knees, and bam, they're gone. And all that God had for them laid out in front of them was available to them, but they became prey to this. And so we'll pick it up next week. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We're so grateful. So thankful for your word this morning. Father, thank you for utterance. Thank you for boldness. Lord, we recognize the devil's after the word. He's trying to steal the word. And so when tests and trials come, no, we need to hang on to that word. We don't stop doing the word. We don't stop doing what's right when things get hard, because then it will get worse for us. Just like that motorcycle example. When things got tough and trials came to me, you know, the natural response was to want to flail around or stop abruptly or, you know, react how you maybe would if you weren't in a vehicle. But if I would have done that, Father, it would have turned into much worse than it was. And by staying the course, it turned into blessing for me. And Father, so many people here, you've told them things to do. You've spoken things in their heart. There's things in the Word that's challenging to them. And, you know, job situations and lack of hours and lack of money is preventing them from, in their mind, from doing the Word. And busyness preventing them from coming to church. And all these other things that are rising in their life for one simple reason, to get their help out of their life. I pray that from this series we would recognize, that we would recognize what's available to us and what your word is meant to do for us, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it. Now with heads bowed, please, and all eyes closed, as I glance over the service, you know, I'm fairly confident that everyone here has received Jesus, but if not, we like to give people an invitation to know him. And when you receive Jesus, a couple things happen. You become a child of God. See, the world says everybody's a child of God. That's not true. The Bible says only the ones that receive Jesus. So you don't get the Father's help until you're in the Father's family. I'm not responsible for all the kids at Walmart. I'm not responsible for all the kids on the playground that I drive by. Why? They're not my children. They're not in my family. Caleb and Abby, I'm responsible for. When they became my kids, I became responsible to help them. Same with the Father. How do you get into his family? Receive Jesus. Second thing that happens is you transferred from darkness to light. You are now heaven-bound. Eternity is now yours. And the great news is, if you're watching or in here, listen to this, is that it's free. It's not about church attendance. It's not about morality. It's not about your good works outweighing your bad works. Church is good. Morality is good. But it doesn't get you into heaven. And lack of it can't keep you out. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. But if you're here in this service, I'll deal with that first, and you've never received Jesus, you've never made him the Lord of your life. Again, just to believe that Jesus is real does not get you saved. Just because you came to church, just because you've been a good person. No, you have to receive him through opening your mouth and confessing. If you've never done that and you want to, again, nobody's going to embarrass you. You're not going to stand up, say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you lift your hand high in the air if you've never done that? Anybody at all want to make sure that you walk out of here knowing I'm his, praise God. Heaven's mine. Anybody? Father, I don't see a hand inside this building, so if there's anyone watching by live stream now or when this is posted on the archive, and I'm talking about you and you say, you know what, I've never received him. I've never made him my Lord and Savior, but I do believe in him. Well, if you believe in him, you're qualified. You don't have to understand everything about him. You have to know everything about him, but if you believe in him, you're qualified. Jesus said in John 3:16, if you believe on me, you won't perish. And then in Romans 10:13, to seal it up after believing, it says you have to call on his name. And that simply sounds like this, and I encourage you to do this when we dismiss this message. Get on your knees and cry out to him from your heart and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, I believe you rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. If you'll pray that prayer, he'll do what he said he's going to do. You'll become his child, and there's so much more for you. And if you want help with knowing what's more and what's next, send me an email, give me a phone call. I'd love to help you. Hallelujah. Can we just stand to our feet and praise him this morning? Let's give him the praise and glory that he's worthy of. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. We magnify you, Father. We honor you, Father. You are good and worthy to be praised. Thank you for these precious people. Thank you for what you're bringing them into. Thank you for working behind the scenes. Father, you're working for us to will and do of your good pleasure. For you've begun a good work in us, and you'll complete it till the day of Jesus. Things are moving. Things are changing. Pieces are being put into places. I keep praying out pieces in places, and I know what it means. Pieces are, the right pieces are being put in the right places behind the scenes for our lives. And we thank you for it. pieces and places. And thank you, it all comes to pass. Father, we agree with your will. We agree with your plan. And I say personally, and for everybody in this church, and for what you have for this church, this ministry, we agree that the fullness of your plan, whatever that is, whatever that looks like, however that might have to happen, whatever pieces and places need to be there, we agree with it. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Now, before you're dismissed, don't forget, put your offering in as you leave, but also we have service Wednesday night. If you need prayer, come forward. If not, we'll see you Wednesday. Love you and appreciate you. You're dismissed. I'm